I think more than yourselves this morning need to hear this. And we are short of technicians. We're short of tech people, so we're glad that those who do it and do it so well. But if you're good in that department, please, please help us. So the theme for this year really is one that's the theme for the rest of our lives. Love thy neighbour. Love the Father with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength, and your neighbour as you love yourself. And it's lovely to see Rachel back, by the way. She loves her horse. She was trampled on by a horse. And, you know, I've been trampled on by a dog, but not a horse. I can't imagine what that must be like. And it's lovely to see new faces in here this morning. Welcome to Hebron. I trust you will enjoy this time together. And it's the most important commandment, isn't it? That we read about in Matthew 22, so if you've got your Bible, verses 36 to 40. Well, I'll just read from verse 37 for time. Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbour as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments." And 2 weeks ago, I gave a sort of general introduction to this subject. I'll just recap on some of those points for the sake of those who are not here. Adam lost something very special in the garden, didn't he? Why? Because love of self took over love for God. And the reason Jesus speaks these words is he wants us to recover what Adam lost. And he wants us to be able to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and to love our neighbour as we love ourselves. We saw a great commitment to this will grow a great group of people. It really will. And our strap line is love and serve God, love and serve people, share God with people. So let's give a great commitment in 2022 to this commandment and to the Great Commission if we want to be great people for Jesus. And we saw the duty of man and woman is to love, and boys and girls for that matter. Our duty is to love, the whole of our devotion. The word love there could be worship. It's the same thing in the original. Worship, Justin Martyr translated as worship. Love, worship the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And summed up in one word, love. It's what you need, it's what I need, it's what the world needs at this time. And we saw the direction of this love. This love should be directed toward God, but also toward people. Leviticus 19:18. It's a great way of remembering verses, isn't it? The year of our Lord, 1918, in Leviticus. And it says, long ago... Sorry, that's not... Oh, it's there. "Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against a fellow Israelite, but love your neighbour as yourself. I am the Lord." That's what our home groups are going to be about over the next few weeks. Some have already started, some are starting this week. But do start it if you've not. And if you can't make it to a group during the week, do download that app. If I can download it and use it, you can. Messenger X. And so this love should be directed towards God and man. And the heart and soul and the mind must be totally occupied in doing this. I'll just remind you that the heart is the hub of the wheel of man's existence or woman's existence. It really is. The soul is the seat of emotional activity. So we're going to get emotional when we love God, and we're going to get emotional when we love our brothers and sisters. That's okay. It's part of having souls and loving God with all our soul. And the mind, it's not only the intellectual life, but also, it's so important, it's our disposition, it's our attitude towards others. So it's not just words that we say, it's our lifestyle that we live. And this love, God's endowed us with these facilities, these faculties to do this. We saw the dedication of love. We must use all these powers to the full. It's triple, isn't it? With a whole heart, with a whole soul, with the whole mind, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. You see, when God loves, he loves the world. When God gives, he gives his son. And we cannot respond to God's wholehearted love with half-hearted devotion. It's got to be wholehearted devotion or nothing at all. Don't think you can get away with being half-hearted in the kingdom of God. You can't. Your response must be total. It's a great command. So this week we're looking at the second commandment. A second commandment is equally important. Love your neighbour as yourselves. And it resembles the first, doesn't it? It resembles the first because it's to do with love. And one is essential to the other. I think it's in 1 John chapter 4. And verse 21, and he has given us this command: those who love God must also love their Christian brothers and sisters. Your neighbour is the one who is nearest to you, close at hand, a friend. Listen to God's word today, and this word will be transformational. So it's all tested in the light of God's presence. So if we're doing things out of a sense of duty, God knows. If we're doing it out of a sense of devotion to our neighbour, wow, that makes a world of difference. So it's not to do with feelings. I don't have to feel this. I've got to do this. It's my will that's involved. Your will is involved. And I want to go a little bit deeper into this now. When you think of these two commandments, a commandment, the second commandment, which is similar to it. It resembles the first because it requires love. And moreover, this love toward the neighbour who is God's image bearer. Remember that. It's about respect, isn't it, for our neighbour. He, she, they are God's image bearer. Might be fallen, but they're still God's image bearer. And this love flows forth from the love toward God. So I can't love God, whom I can't see, if I can't love my neighbour, the one I can see. This twofold command, for love for God and love for neighbour, is the peg, Jesus says, which the whole law and prophets hang. We used to have a row of pegs at the back of the church then. These days, and it's, you've got your coats, nowhere to put them, is there? It's one of our failings as a church. I don't know what to do about it. We could do with a cloakroom. When I was a boy, I was at school in the fifth year, year 11 to the modern people. We had cloakrooms, and there's like a grill between them, so you couldn't run in and out of them. And I remember Robert Duckworth getting a hold, he was the cock of the school, in the big, well, whatever he was, he was big. And he just bullied people. He got hold of this little boy, got hold of him, put him on a hook in the cloakroom. And I just happened to come in. Well, I was thin as a lad, bit of a weakling really. But the adrenaline or the power of God, I don't know what it was, but I confronted this guy because I couldn't stand bullying. I said, "What are you doing, Duckworth?" And I picked him up. I wanted to do that. It must have been God's strength. And I bashed him against this sort of fencing thing. And I did it all in love. You've got to know, I did it in love. And I unhooked this boy who was on this peg and settled him down. You know, Duckworth never bullied anyone again that I know of. From that moment of time. Sometimes we have to stand up, don't we? My wife's brilliant at standing up to people who are doing wrong things. If we're driving down the road and kids are fighting, she'll say, "Stop the car, stop the car." She'll get out and tell them and stop them fighting each other if there's a little boy being battered. My daughter's fallen into the same way of a mum, and she's not well this morning, that's why she's not here. But it was just round the corner outside, Lucky's Chippy. And she saw somebody being bullied, and so she stood up against these guys. "Stop it, stop it." You know what happened seconds later after they came out of the chippy? Someone pulled a gun on her. So stand up to bullies and they'll react. Well, sometimes it won't always be the best thing. And thank God she was kept safe in that. Police didn't want to know because they were of a certain ethnic grouping, it seems. That was her thoughts anyway. Love is the peg on which the whole law and prophets hang. Pegs are important. Remove the peg and all is lost. For the entire Old Testament, with its commandments and covenants, falls without love for God and love for our neighbour. Are you getting this? Church and Christian life is not about a list of rules and regulations. It's about covenant and commandments being fulfilled by God's people. Promises and prophecies of the Old Testament mean nothing unless there is love for God and love for neighbour. It's the same with types and testimonies. They find their fulfilment when God's people begin to show love one to another. Invitations in the Old Testament and exhortations. Again, it's all to do with love. Love for God, love for our neighbour. It all points to the love of God, which demands love in return. We've got to love. This is the key, friends, to unlock this church into the freedom of being the evangelist and the mission church God wants us to be, to see transformation in our community and in our society. God is speaking to his church this year about his love and about us loving him and us loving our neighbour. Remember John 13. Great words. John 13. Dear children, verse 33. I will be with you only a little longer. As I told the Jewish leaders, you will search for me, but you can't come where I am going. And this is the one I want us to think about. So now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. This is crucial. Bishop Ryle, who was a great man of God, said the immense importance of Christian love cannot possibly be shown more strikingly than the way it is urged on the disciples at this time. Here our Lord is leaving the world, speaking for the last time, and giving his last charge to the disciples. So if everything Jesus said was important, this was especially important as we receive it into our hearts. The very first subject he takes up and passes on them is the great duty of loving one another. And that no common love, but after the same patient, tender, unwearied manner that he had loved them. Love must be a very rare and important grace to be spoken of. I love that. And friends, let's today look into this verse and see love for God and love for neighbour is the summary of the law. But Jesus required his disciples and requires his disciples to love one another. How? As he loved them. Because in him, this love that is mentioned in Deuteronomy and in Leviticus, and now Jesus speaks out these words, he says, you've got to love each other as I have loved you. Think about how Christ loved his neighbour. This year, that's what God wants us to do. Think of him and his great love and how we can emulate that love in our lives day by day. Not just on Sunday, but on Monday and Tuesday and every other day. On the day we don't feel like loving people. On the day we don't feel too clever. On the day we feel sorry for ourselves. On the day we don't feel good enough. God wants us to love each other as Jesus loved them. His example was constant self-sacrificing love, day after day. Can you imagine? Wouldn't it have been wonderful to have been around Jesus? Can you imagine this most loving person, love personified? Yeah. Absolutely. You're so right. I'm glad somebody agrees with me this morning. And his example, if you turn to Luke at the very offset of his ministry, Luke chapter 4, verses 16 to 18. I love these words. You see, the word of God would be read every Sabbath. Isn't it important that we read God's word in this house every time we meet together, especially on Sundays when we gather in this way? And the Hebrew would then be translated and paraphrased and read in Aramaic, because that was the common language. And so we see this beautiful scripture. When he came to Nazareth, Jesus never just arrived anywhere. He was always in the perfect will of God. Let's make sure we're always in the perfect will of God, because that showed his love for the Father and his love for his neighbour, that we're in God's will. And he was in Nazareth, where he'd grown up. And he went into the synagogue. Think about that. This is the Son of God. This is the creator of heaven and earth. And he decided that every Saturday he would be in the synagogue. Isn't that awesome? The one who didn't need to hear the scripture, because he was the living word. And yet he submitted as a man to that regular habit of attending God's house on a regular basis. How wonderful. We see not only did he show the love for the Father in this, he was showing his love for the neighbours, the love for the congregation. The fact that you are here this morning, I would say pat yourself on the back, but you might want your reward when you get to heaven. But it's great that you're here, because it's showing your love for God, but your love for your brothers and sisters who are in front of you or behind you. And it's a great, great thing. And so when Jesus came to the front to read the scriptures, it's important that we read the scriptures in the house of God. When I read God's word to you a moment ago, I was showing love to the Father, acknowledging that it's his word, but I was showing love to you. And when we come, we should always believe in the public reading of the word of God, because we believe in the Bible. We believe it's the Holy Bible. We believe from Genesis to Revelation, it's God's word for our day and our generation and for this moment of time in which we live. So let's continue in these lovely thoughts in Luke chapter 4, 16 to 17. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, he said. Can I say this? If you are part of the body of Christ, he wants to anoint his body today as he anointed his son in that day. And when we read the scriptures, there's such an anointing. Somebody sent me a little clip of a sermon. I think it was, the devil will stop you from reading the word of God, and the flesh will stop you from praying. Because the devil knows how powerful the word of God is. So he'll keep you from your daily readings. He'll keep you from Bible study. He'll keep you from home groups. He'll keep you from getting deeper and closer to God through his word. And the flesh. I found when I was sick with this COVID, the thing that I struggled, really found very difficult to do, was to pray. Isn't that strange? I was really shocked by that. I was so lethargic physically because of the illness. And I wanted to pray, but I just didn't have the energy to even get the words out. I just sat there like a, I don't know, like a little teddy bear on the settee, causing nobody any harm, but just feeling sorry for himself. Friends, we need to deal with that flesh that stops us from seeking the face of God. Because when I pray, I'm loving God, but I'm loving you. Because I'm praying for you. And when you love God and you pray, you're praying, not only showing your love for God, you're showing your love for me and for this congregation and God's people. Isn't that great? And the same when you read God's word. It's not a purely thing you do. You know, everybody who's going to be on an island, you know, what was that thing? Treasure Island? Not Treasure Island. It was a Radio 4 program. Desert Island bits, yeah, and they always said, well, apart from the Bible, these days, I don't think they even want the Bible, do they? But apart from the Bible, friends, you don't just need it, your Bible and reading your Bible for yourself on your desert island, it's for your neighbour that you're reading God's word. So when you've started this program of reading God's word every day, you're blessing other people because you're becoming a better person a more loving person when you read this book. You can't help but read God's word and be transformed. It changes you when the anointing and the anointing of the Lord, this is what Jesus said, and so the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and he has anointed me. He anointed Jesus, and the same Holy Spirit who anointed Jesus is here today to anoint his church, the body of Christ. We are the church. We are the body of Christ, and he wants you to live under that anointing. And if you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, receive that baptism today, because it transforms your life forever. It really does. It causes you to grow in ways you could never grow. And what was the purpose of all this? He anointed me to bring good news to the poor, to bring hope to the poor. James has been telling us about feeding the homeless. And you can join in. You might be working on a Friday morning, but you can join in helping the poor and giving hope to the poor by actually giving them some toothpaste. I was speaking to one of the ex-offenders there. He asked to see the chaplain. And he's called Stephen. Pray for Stephen. He said, I brightened up his day when I met him in his cell when he was in segregation. I brightened up his day. He hated the officers. It was just the uniform. It wasn't anything personal. It was just the authority thing. But he loved the chaplain because somehow God put me in a position where I could show love to him. And now he's receiving the love from this church, not through me, but through those who minister there. So thanks, James and team, for all you're doing there. Keep up the fantastic work. But we are here to give good news and hope, not only to the physically or materially poor, but there are some tax collectors out there who are quite wealthy, but they're lonely and they need to know that somebody loves them. Would you love some tax collector? I mean, I know it's asking a lot, but do love them. Love those people out there. Don't think because they're rich, they've got everything together. They're most probably, their lives inside are falling apart. They may look as though they've got everything, because you either love God or you love mammon. Mammon is money, the god of this world, the things of this world, and you're either in one camp or the other. You can't love both. You cannot. It's not money that's the root of all evil. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil. And this scroll was opened up, and Jesus, can you imagine being in that congregation on that day? Can you imagine missing church that Sunday or that Saturday? Wow, that's why we should never, never miss if we can. Let's be together, because you never know when Jesus is going to turn up. You never know when there's going to be the power of the Holy Spirit doing something fresh. I think there's more room. I've been given more room at the front here for me to walk about. But I think it's for me to give some anointing oil to someone today to bless you. Because after the preaching of the word, because Jesus said there'll be signs and wonders following it. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God is upon me to not only bring good news to the poor and help them and hope, bring hope to them, but also we see this is beautiful. There's healing. Listen, there's healing. Say there's healing. Healing. Jesus brought healing. This is how Jesus loved his neighbor, by healing them. And here in this context, it was healing the broken-hearted. There's a lot of broken-hearted people out there. Some who have lost loved ones during COVID. Some who have lost their sensibility during COVID. They've had breakdowns because of it. Some who have had too much drink or they've had too much food. And they're broken-hearted about where they're at. Some have lost their jobs. Some, their marriages are failing. They're broken. But here today, we have an anointing upon us to love them and to bring healing to the broken hearted. Is that good news? That's glorious news, friends, for a lost and a dying world. And not only that, you see, it says here, and he gives recovery of sight to the blind. It's like you get a new set of eyes when you become, when you're touched by Jesus himself. Yeah, literal meaning is they gaze into heaven. Aren't you glad that today, by the anointing that's on Jesus, you can gaze into heaven? And when the anointing's on the body, we're going to bring sight to the blind. We're going to see people with new eyes. both spiritually and physically. We're going to see people see things, and here today, I believe it's happening. People are seeing things, perhaps for the very first time, as the revelation of God's word comes to us, as the freshness, the fresh oil, the fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit causes to release God's word into our hearts and our lives, which is awesome. And we're going to preach to the prisoners of war. That's what that means, that little bit. Preach good news to the prisoners of war. And what we're going to say to them? I open your door. I set you free. Because that's exactly, this is how Jesus loved the Father, by bringing this truth into his ministry and shared this ministry. And he went about doing good, healing the sick, or who were caged in by the devil. And he set them free. And today, the Lord is setting people free in this house. He's freeing you from shame. He's freeing you from addiction. He's freeing you from a poverty mentality. He's freeing you from the walls of this world that have bogged you down. He's freeing you from fear. So receive. I speak freedom in the name of Jesus with the anointing that's upon me. Be set free for the glory of God and live in that and walk in that freedom that the Lord Jesus is giving you. Why? Because this is the year of Jubilee. This is the year of God's favor. Hallelujah. Isn't this wonderful? This was a cycle thing in the Old Testament, but this was not a cycle for 70 years. It wasn't just a cycle for a short time. This was the cycle that will continue until Jesus returns, because he has anointed his body this morning to be what Jesus was on earth. He wants us to be little Christ, going about, doing good, healing the sick, and setting those who are in cages, setting them wonderfully, wonderfully free. Wow. Time has gone. I didn't know I was going to say so much on there, but there we are. His example then of constant self-sacrificing love. We think of the incarnation. We just celebrated Christmas. Don't celebrate Christmas once a year. Don't be like the world. Celebrate. We've been celebrating it this morning. We celebrated Easter this morning. Every day we should do it, not just on Sundays as well. And we think of that humiliation, you know, that self-sacrificing of leaving the riches and the glories and the splendor and the majesty of heaven and being surrounded by millions of angels serving him, and he becomes a man. Are we willing to come down from wherever we are now and humble ourselves before Almighty God so that he can use us? In his earthly ministry, he wants us to be like him. But not only in his earthly ministry and the things he did, showing love to his neighbour, but he showed the greatest love of all when he died on that cross, when he shed his blood for you and for me, when he suffered as a sacrificial lamb, as an atoning sacrifice for you and for me. He too wants us to follow in his footsteps. And he says, you can love God with all your heart, your soul and your mind, and you can love your neighbour as you love yourself when you take up your cross daily and follow me. Who's willing to do that in 2022? Who's willing to take this message of the cross to a community that's desperate, that is dying, that's going to hell unless we take them the message of life? You see, we must pattern our attitude on Jesus, our relation to one another on Jesus. But it's always voluntary. This is where people get into a legalistic state of mind. Oh, I didn't witness to anybody this week. Oh, I'm going to get run over by a big red bus. No, it's not like that, friends. It's voluntary obedience. And when you fail to do it, you just repent. Say, Lord, I'm so sorry. I didn't witness as I should have done this week. Or I wasn't the witness I should have been. Please forgive me. Let me start afresh on this new day. We're at the start of a new week. Isn't it great? That's why I love Sundays. Sunday prepares us. It's a day of grace. We don't end in a rest. We begin with a Sabbath. We begin in rest together. And the rest of the week we becomes a day of grace. Each day, a day of grace before the Lord. Just give one closing illustration that I came across the other day about a policeman. We all love our policemen, don't we? I didn't hear any response to that at all. Okay. Lord, forgive this congregation. They think they're under law. No, you're under grace. This police officer who adopted the baby of a drug addict and didn't give up, and didn't give up on her sobriety. Officer Ryan Holutz is a father from Albuquerque in New Mexico. While out on patrol in September 2017, Ryan came across a woman named Crystal Champ. I wonder where she got that name from. And her companion Tom. When he found them, they were shooting up heroin behind a convenience store. Crystal was 8.5 months pregnant. Concerned with the well-being of the unborn baby, Ryan tried to reason with Crystal. "You're going to kill your baby," he told her. The more they talked, the stronger Ryan felt God telling him to adopt Crystal's baby. "Tell her that you will do it," he recalls, "because you can." 3 weeks later, Ryan and his wife became parents for the fifth time when Crystal gave birth to a baby girl, fittingly named Hope. But the story doesn't end there. Rather than sending Crystal and Tom to jail for their drug use, Ryan used his own resources to help the two addicts get clean. Ryan and his family are the very essence of what it means to love your neighbour. Wow, that's putting your money where your mouth is, isn't it? Putting your life on the line. Let's pray, shall we? So much more, but we're going to look at this subject throughout this year. You'll find, as you dig in, you'll see every scripture. It says, love the Lord your God. Every scripture will tell you, love your neighbour as you love yourself. You'll find it. You won't be able to get away from it once you allow your eyes to be opened on this. Love thy neighbour. Father, oh, what can we say? What can we say? We are overwhelmed with your love, your goodness, your grace, your mercy, the hope that you've placed within us. And we look around us, people are in despair and our hearts are failing for fear. But here in this house, I've come and I'm encouraged because I'm with people of hope. I'm with people who love you. And through their loving you, being together, they've loved me. And hopefully I've loved them. And together, we're in love with you, but we're also in love with the Father. You're to the Father's children. Bring this word into our hearts that we might not sin against you. Put it in us, Lord, that this year we'll become the best neighbours, whoever those people might be, whether it's the neighbours at work, whether it's the neighbours in Asda, whether it's the neighbours on our street, whether it's the neighbours in our school or a college. I pray that this love of Christ, the anointing, some of you have felt, how do I love like Jesus? The Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit is the answer. Receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and he will give you such a love, such a devotion, not only for God, but for your neighbour. And you'll love those who hate you. You'll love those who persecute you. You'll love those who say evil things of you. You'll find as we go through this course on the bait of Satan, you'll realise some things have held us back for so long, grudges and grievances against others. But here, thank you for the unity of this house this morning. Thank you for the body of Christ. May our hearts beat as one. May it be the heartbeat of missions. May it be a desire to see you honoured and glorified and people saved. For your name's sake, we ask it. Amen. As the musicians come and you wish to receive prayer for your body this morning or for any other reason, come forward. And we'll pray that God will bless you. Thank you. Thanks.